You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. In an attempt to see a variety of minor biblical personalities from all over Tanakh, we're going to take a look today at the book of Yehoshua to study the personality of Rahav. In the second chapter of the book of Yehoshua, Yehoshua sends two men out to spy out Yericho, at the first city that they're going to conquer. Vayishlach Yehoshua binun min hashitim, shnayim anashim miraglim, cheresh lemor, lechu ru'u et ha'aretz ve'et Yericho, Right. Note, first of all, these two meraglim are sent secretly to see et ha'aretz ve'et Yericho. Right? They're supposed to search out the land, spy out the land and Yericho. Right? They get as far as the house of a woman named Rahav, right, our subject for today, and they sleep there. Now, it is hard to teach a shiur about Rahav and ignore completely that we are told that she is a zona, right? Which is translated in most cases, right, in other parts of Tanakh, in all cases perhaps, as a harlot, a prostitute. Rashi and others, following a certain midrashic line, found, for example, in Targum Yonatan, that he explains that zona is a milashon mazon, right? That the word zona is from the word mazon, food, right? That she was a food provider, right? Or as the Targum says, a pundikait, an innkeeper. Now, whether this is a whitewashing of a less than acceptable profession for a woman who seems to express some pretty solid religious beliefs by the end of the story, or whether it is a genuine attempt at uncovering the pshat, right, of what the word really means, it should be mentioned that there are plenty of other midrashim, right, found in the Bavli, Masechtot Megillah, Tanit, and Zvachim, for example, as well as in the Sifrei Zuta, among other places, which have no problem understanding zona in the usual sense. It's also impossible, I might add, that she was both, right? That she served as both a prostitute and an innkeeper. In all cases, it is not my aim to analyze today these options, other than to say that for the importance for the purposes of the story of her being a zona, be she a prostitute or an innkeeper, is twofold. Firstly, she would be in either case in an ideal situation to be in contact with a lot of people all the time, meaning she knew the goings-on around town. Similar in a sense, perhaps, to Mordechai, who sat at the palace gate, right, in the Purim story, right, a key position to find out who was plotting against the king and who was plotting against the Jews. Right, Rahav likely heard a lot from and about a lot of people who passed through her doors. Secondly, right, as a prostitute or an innkeeper, she lived right by the wall of the city, right? As we are told later on in the Perek, in Pasuk Tetvav, right? It says there, Vatoridem. Vatoridem. Bachevel ba'ad hachalon, ki beita hiveita bakir, u hachoma u vachoma hi yoshevet. Right? Later on in the story, she lets the meraglim down through the window. Because the story says, the pasuk says, her house was situated on the wall. Now this is good not only for business, right, either business, but also proves to be convenient for spies who need a place from which they can slide inconspicuously in and out of town. The fact that she lives near the wall is also interesting for another reason, which we will address later on. Now, word spreads fast that two spies have come to town. The king of Yericho, no less, comes to Hagar and demands that she hand them over. She, in the meantime, has snuck them onto the roof. She hides them under some flax that she was drying up there. And she says to the king, yes, indeed, they were here, but I didn't know who they were, and they have since left town. I don't know where they've gone. Go run after them, she says. You know, maybe you can still catch them. So the king and his men run eastward, meaning in the direction of the Yarden, of the Jordan River, right, logically assuming that the Meraglim would run back over the Yarden to Shittim, where Bnei Israel were encamped, right, waiting for the Meraglim to return. Rahav, however, wisely advises the Meraglim to run westward, the other direction, to the hills, to hide there in the caves for a few days, right? If you go to Yericho, you can still see up in the hills their caves, which are known as the spy caves, the Me'arat HaMeraglim. And they should stay there for a few days until those chasing them would give up, and they could safely return eastward to Bnei Israel. But before she gives them this important advice and sends them on their way, she secures for herself and her family a deal. And it's in the discussion between Rahav and the Meraglim that we see her significance in the story unfold. She begins by expressing a very solid belief that Hashem is about to help Bnei Israel conquer the land. Vatomer el ha'anashim, yadati ki natan Hashem lachem et ha'aretz, v'chi nafla imatchem aleinu, v'chi namogu kol yoshvei ha'aretz mipnechem. Right, she reports that all of the people of the land are terrified of Bnei Israel because they know that Bnei Israel are going to win, right? And she attributes this to God, right? The people are all terrified, but I know this is because Hashem is going to give the land to you. Ki shamanu et asher hovish Hashem et yam suf mipnechem, betzeitchem mimitzrayim, v'asher asitem l'shnei malchei amori asher be'evi ha'yodin l'tzichon u'le'og asher hecheramtem otam, right? Why is this? Because we've all heard what Hashem has done for you on Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea, taking you out of Egypt, fighting against Sichon and Og. Right? They know what has happened in recent history of Bnei Israel, and they are terrified that this is what's going to happen to them. Vanishma v'yimaslo v'veinu v'lo kama od ruach b'ish mipnechem ki Hashem Eloheichem hu Elohim b'shamayim ma'aval aretz mitachat. Right? We know this is going to happen, that Hashem is going to deliver us into your hands because He is the God of heaven and earth. Okay? Pretty solid belief that Hashem is the one in control here. Having established all of that, she makes a request. Ve'ata, hishav'una li b'Hashem ki asiti imachem chesed, v'asitem gamatem im beit avi chesedotatem li'ot emet, v'hachayitem et avi v'et imi v'et achai v'et achiyotai, v'et kol asher lahem v'itzaltem et nafshotenu mimavet. Right? Please, promise me that you will save me and my family. And the deal basically goes through. Being the following, that when Bnei Israel come back to conquer the land, the Meraglim will make sure that Rahav and her family will be saved and will not be destroyed with the rest of the city. And Rahav, for her part, in addition to, you know, what she has already done for the Meraglim, must not tell anyone of the deal. Right, it's their secret. Her family must all be in the house, I guess, because the Meraglim don't want to have to worry about searching for her family all over the city. They can't promise to save them if they're not going to be all in one place. And that her house must be identifiable by her keeping the red rope by which the Meraglim escaped from her window in about a minute in the story. She must keep that in place on the window so that they can easily identify where her house is. And that is the deal. And the deal is agreed upon, and the Meraglim then go. Now, Rahav certainly did a great favor for the Meraglim by hiding them, clearly, and advising them, etc. And certainly, on the other hand, it is legitimate for a person to try to save her family from what she believes is a certain death. Nonetheless, it's still legitimate to ask, and perhaps it's an interesting question, was Rahav helping the Meraglim in order to save her family? Right, the speech about the strength of Bnei Israel, and even more so of God, merely a rhetorical ploy in order to enlist their help? Or was she really expressing genuine beliefs? And, you know, the request to save her family was merely, you know, the modest plea of a true convert. You know, a position certainly taken by many midrashim, right? That when she said those things about Bnei Israel and God, those were truly her beliefs. And she is truly kind of coming over to their side. That is why she saves the Meraglim and helps them. And she's merely asking that her family be saved. Other than to say that she certainly sounds sincere, it's kind of hard to prove it one way or another. So there's no reason not to give her the benefit of the doubt. In terms of her role in the story, however, I think that what is more to the point is the effect that her words had on the Meraglim themselves, and on Am Yisrael in general, more than what her intentions were when she said them. When the Meraglim returned to Yoshua at the end of the story, Pasuk Kaf Dalid, Their report is as follows. Vayomru al Yehoshua, ki natan Hashem biyadenu et kol haaretz, v'gam namogu kol yoshvei haaretz mipanenu. Right, Hashem has given the land into our hands, and all of the dwellers of the land are melting before us. These spies were sent to see Yericho on the land, right? We saw that at the beginning of the story. They never got farther than Rahab's house, which was situated on the wall of the city, meaning they saw nothing. They didn't see the city, they didn't see the land. They did not spy anything in the usual sense. Their report to Yehoshua is basically a paraphrase of what Rahab said, right? But in essence, that was all that they needed. And therefore, their mission was a success. When the first set of Miraglim in Sefer Bamidbar were sent by Moshe in that ill-fated mission, right, 10 of them said that they could never defeat the nations of the land. Right, they were too strong. There was no way they could defeat them. And only Yehoshua and Kalev insisted that the physical might of the nations of the land was irrelevant if Am Yisrael believed that Hashem was on their side. The disastrous results of that first spy expedition leads one to wonder why on earth Yehoshua would send out spies ever again. In the end, however, Rahab provided exactly the right information. The land will be theirs because Hashem will give it to them, right? And that even the nations of the land from, you know, that they were so afraid of recognized this. A well-known midrash on Rahab has her convert and marry Yehoshua. On a certain level, this is probably inspired by the fact that we know nothing of what happens to Rahab upon being saved by the Miraglim and presumably coming to live among Am Yisrael, as well as the fact that we never hear of Yehoshua marrying, right? So utilizing the Midrashic principle of the law of conservation of biblical characters and, you know, playing matchmaker, in addition, this Midrash marries Rahab and Yehoshua off. If so, however, right, if this is, you know, true in any sense, then the Midrash is a very, very good matchmaker because as we have seen, Rahab's inspiring words to the Miraglim echo those of Yehoshua in his words in the first Miraglim story, and also the ideals that he expresses throughout the book of Yehoshua later on. And in that sense, he and Rahab were really a perfect match.